Hello and welcome to our podcast on how does a narcissist handle divorce, react to it, and cope. My name is Robert Farzad. I'm a family law attorney and the president of Farzad Family Law, a premier California family law firm. First, let's get the legal stuff out of the way. This podcast is only about California family law and no other state, and nothing in this podcast is legal advice nor intended to apply to your specific situation. It is also not a substitute for legal advice. So why do we care about this subject? You are likely married to someone whose personality you have learned fits that of a narcissist. Being married to one can cause a lot of anxiety. Divorcing them, even more so. If you have a divorce ahead of you, you want to be prepared. That preparation means knowing what to expect from your spouse. And if you are already in a divorce, you are probably seeing how a lack of preparation can cause chaos. What will we discuss? Well, first, we discuss how we believe a physically abusive narcissist reacts and what you can do in response. Second, we get into emotional abuse, followed by third, financial abuse. And finally, we will get into what you can expect when the divorce is over and the narcissist thinks that ending is actually round two. We will help you make some smart choices and also not let unhealthy emotions like anger or fear get a hold of your head and your decision-making process. There are people who are completely consumed by their emotions, and typically those are the people who make foolish choices. We do not want you to be one of those people. Let's first talk about domestic violence and child abuse. Did your marriage involve an abusive spouse? Did it involve your abuse and that of the children? Self-protection, and of course protection of the children, should therefore be your highest priority. We evaluate these cases by essentially asking the following questions. First, is a domestic violence restraining order appropriate? If so, we bring one. We do not just look at recent abuse, although that is one factor, but we also look at history. How likely is it to reoccur? Do you fear your spouse, and do you have a subjective and an objective basis for that fear? Has there been a threat to the children? Are the children in potential imminent harm? But even if there's no physical threat, we ask the question of whether it makes sense for you to move out. Timing, of course, becomes important. And timing isn't just about protecting you and the children, but ensuring they and you have financial support. Now, if your spouse is the primary or the sole income earner, chances are good we will recommend you file a request for order and seek temporary orders. Those temporary orders are not just about child custody and visitation, but also child support, spousal support, attorney's fees, and more. If you are the sole or primary income earner, then you should expect a request for order from your spouse. Now, if domestic violence is an issue and you prove your narcissist spouse committed domestic violence, you should get primary or even sole physical and potentially legal custody. That in turn means less exposure, if any, to child support. And if there is a history of domestic violence that includes a criminal conviction or a finding by any court, then certain presumptions may kick in to prevent your spouse from not only getting joint custody, but also potentially being denied spousal support. But what if there is no physical abuse and there is emotional abuse? Tell me, does any of the following sound familiar to you? I'm going to make sure you never see the kids again. I'm not going to pay you a dime in support. I'm going to quit my job and you're going to be paying me support. I will spend all of the money we have just to fight you. And you and the children will be on the streets if you proceed with a divorce. If they sound familiar, you are not alone. Narcissists are self-absorbed control freaks. When that control slips, they go into rage. Rage usually means threats, and threats take different forms. Now, we don't like to waste time on non-specific rants unless they escalate. If there is emotional abuse, and it's gotten to a point where it actually violates California Family Code 6320 and falls into the many categories that have nothing to do with physical violence, you can seek a restraining order. Examples of that conduct include stalking, threatening, harassing, telephoning, including but not limited to making annoying telephone calls, destroying personal property, and even disturbing the peace. Now, we can show you how to put a stop to it and put the narcissist's spouse on notice that unwanted phone calls, texts, emails, and harassment will lead to a restraining order. You don't have to put up with the narcissist blowing up your phone through angry communication. Such rants are a good indication the narcissist is losing control or has actually lost it. Third, we talk about financial abuse. Now, there are different types of financial abuse we have seen over the years by a narcissist husband or a narcissist wife. Here are the most common. First, lying about income, especially if self-employed. Hiding or diverting assets, especially if your spouse has been in control of the financial estate throughout the marriage. There's also refusing to cooperate in the discovery process, which is the formal process of gathering information in divorce litigation. Refusing to pay child support or alimony, even after it is ordered, although that is usually something an extreme personality does. Unnecessarily and unreasonably driving up the fees and costs of litigation by delay tactics, lack of cooperation, or forcing litigation over simple issues. Making false allegations of domestic violence in a divorce or custody case, as well as false allegations of abuse or neglect to gain additional custody and increase leverage on support issues are also common. There is more, but the approach you take on each of these issues is simple and can best be summarized in three concepts. Number one, pick your battles wisely. There's a time to be assertive in divorce litigation, and a time to not allow yourself to be drawn into litigation fights that don't actually carry a benefit in proportion to the cost. Number two, be proactive with attorney fee requests against the narcissist spouse. Every single one of the items on that list justify an attorney fee request against the narcissist spouse, pursuant to Family Code 271, which is sanctions for unreasonable conduct, and Family Code 2030, and 2032, which is usually based on either a disparity of income, your need, your spouse's ability to pay, and access to money. Number three, take violations of court orders seriously and file a contempt action when it is appropriate. A contempt of court request in California divorce cases are powerful because punishment can include fines, community service, and even jail time. So let's assume your divorce is over. Unfortunately, the narcissist interprets that as round two. They believe they've been wronged. They do not like the result because we usually kick their butt. That leads to post-judgment misconduct. Now, there are things you can do to mitigate this. Number one, avoid direct communication with your narcissist's ex-spouse. You hopefully got court orders that limit communication about the children to the use of programs like Our Family Wizard, or talking parents. Take away the narcissist's opportunity to engage you and upset you. Keep the narcissist on a short leash when it comes to court orders. And if the narcissist is supposed to pay you support and fails to do so, then file a contempt action and seek attorney's fees or issue a wage garnishment or levy accounts. If the narcissist learns that you will not tolerate non-payment and there will be consequences, he or she may be more likely to pay you on time. And we have seen this over and over again. Of course, you can let it build up and collect the legal rate of interest, but ask yourself if that is wise. And also keep in mind that there are time limitations for bringing a contempt action. Please keep custody exchanges curbside and without unnecessary communication. Hopefully you got a court order for curbside exchanges. Custody exchanges are an opportunity for the narcissist ex-spouse to disparage you, threaten you, especially in front of the children, because he or she knows that's the best opportunity to upset you. A curbside exchange avoids communication and contact. Finally, take parental alienation seriously. If your narcissist ex-spouse is starting to engage in post-divorce conduct that is parental alienation of the children from you, then you must act. Consult your family law attorney for help, document the alienation, and take court action. In closing, it takes three qualities, in our opinion, to successfully divorce the narcissist in your life: courage, patience, and perseverance. Many sit in the same place you are now and question if they have those qualities. Many finish their divorce thankful they did not give up. This is in you. With the right advocate at your side, you can get across that finish line just like they did. Our family law firm has offices in Orange County and Los Angeles. Family law is all we do. If you have a divorce ahead of you or are going through one in any of the 7 Southern California courts, contact us for an affordable strategy session. We hope you enjoyed this podcast and you will continue to read and listen to more divorce and family law information we provide on our website, farzadlaw.com. Also, we wrote a comprehensive ebook titled Divorcing a Narcissist, The Path to Growth and Freedom, which was released in October 2018. That book is available on Amazon. Thank you for listening.